I have a stool up here in case I get fatigued. I haven't done this since April, so I don't know. Can you stand the whole time? We'll see. Let's pray, and we'll dive into some Bible study. Lord, thank you for your presence here. Oh, really seriously, Lord, we're saying thank you for your presence here. You didn't have to show up personally, and you did, and we love you for it. Thank you for being here. Thank you that we don't have to just talk about you like you're not in the room, but we get to encounter the real God. Thank you that we get to be real with each other. Thank you for calling us to hop on your chariot like Darius saw in vision, for joining you in bringing your power, your healing, your restoration, your life to this world you've placed us in. We pray you speak to us today. Lord, when we open up the Bible and try to learn from truths that are eternal, that you would enliven our minds to understand. We want to learn from you. We want to be changed by you. We want to grow in you. Lord, we welcome you. Come, speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a 17-year-old daughter, and I'm not sure if that's why, but partially because of her, there's a particular movie that plays a lot in our DVD player. Does anyone know the movie Tangled? Who knows Tangled? Oh my goodness, not enough. Kathy, is it a good movie? It's like the most fantastic movie, isn't it? So you don't, half of you, three quarters of you don't know what Tangled is, do you? Who doesn't know what Tangled is? Oh my gosh. Well, so my daughter likes performing musicals, and it is a musical because there's some songs in it, but it's animated, so that for many people just shuts them off right away. Don't miss out on the animated movies. Some of them are awesome, and there's like, you know, CGI and animation. It's a Disney flick, and it's the story of Rapunzel told again, only super funny, super great characters, and a little twist in the story. But the story, if you don't know, is there's this girl who's born to the king and queen. She's a princess, but she's got some kind of superpowers. And there's this old hag who finds out about the superpowers and wants to get her hands on them because this girl's got magical hair. And because of her hair, the old hag, Mother Gothel, has something like eternal life. Every time she has the girl, Rapunzel, sing this song and her hair glows and magical powers come and she gets restored in her youth. And she's been doing this for a long time. She had another way of doing it. She lost that power. So she stole the girl from the king and queen. You know the story? And she locks her in a tower, right? Remember, Rapunzel, let down your hair? It's that story. So she's got her locked up in this tower and telling her, oh, the world's a bad place, you don't want to go there. And the girl has no idea who she is. This is like one of the themes of many of the great stories that we all love in our culture, even if you don't like Disney movies. What are some other ones? Where someone doesn't know their identity. They might even be a prince or a princess. They've been hidden away, and by the end of the story, they find out who they are, and they get to be who they're called and created to be. They don't know their destiny, and they get to live it. What were you thinking of? Luke Skywalker, totally, Star Wars. He doesn't know who he is, and he's got this destiny, prophecies about him, and he finally walks into it and saves the world, saves the universe, saves the galaxy, far, far away, right? There's a lot of story there. Come on, our imagination is going. What's another great story? Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. That's got it going on. You know what? The first one that no one knows, the horse and his boy. Have you ever read that one? There's the boy Cor, and Corn is that? Cor is the twin brother of the prince. But he's been raised in poverty and has no idea. And then he discovers who he is and walks into his destiny. Anyone ever heard of Harry Potter? What happens with him? He has this destiny to defeat the Dark Lord, right? And doesn't know it. He thinks he's like this nobody. Doesn't know he's got this heritage, this power. In fact, the reboot of Star Trek, right? Kirk, what's his name? James T. Kirk doesn't really know. He's like a loser without a father, growing up in crime and trouble, and has no idea that he's created for greatness until Admiral Pike finds him. Does anyone like the reboot of Star Wars? Was that, what's his name? What's that actor's name? Chris Pine?
that right? I don't even know. What's another one? Say it again. Wizard of Oz. Okay, we got that going on. Yeah, greatness in there. Did someone say something? The Lion King. Okay, yeah, the Lion King. He, little cub thinks something else about his destiny, doesn't have any idea he's going to be the king and take care of things. This is a common story in the world's heritage, and it's some of your stories. You didn't know, some of you, that you were born destined for greatness, destined to bring God's blessing to this planet. Someone robbed you and fooled you, and you have no idea who you are created to be. But God created you for a purpose, to bring his blessing in the picture that Daria had, to get on his chariot and fly through the world, bringing his goodness to the world. That's, you know, that's the story of Sleeping Beauty, right? She gets whisked away because someone wants to destroy her, grows up not knowing that she's actually the princess. Princess Diaries, another one. Just all these movies, that's... Oh, wait a minute, The Matrix even has that in it, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Is his name Neo? And he doesn't really know who he is. He just thinks he's this loser programmer, right? And it turns out he's destined for greatness. So there's a reason those stories are there. I think probably every great story reaches us because it was put in place by God himself, because it's the real story of the real world, the real eternal universe, the heavens and the earth that God created for a great purpose. Because the ultimate story is that God created the heavens and the earth and people in a good creation, and an evil dragon came in and convinced the princess to follow his ways and brought the world into a dark time, and then promised, I'm going to come and redeem this place, and I'm going to use people to do it. That's the story we're living in. That's the story of the Bible, if you didn't know. It's a great story. And Jesus comes establishing the work of the king from the distant land and gathering people to join him in his great efforts. So today you have, it's like old times, I always, almost always when I'm going to speak, create some kind of an outline and notes for you. That's because I think a great way to learn is to have something in front of you and to listen and to see. Some people need to write. Pull out a pen, have your Bible open. Does anyone still use a Bible, or is it always on your phone or your iPad? Oh, I like those. I mean, a great way to learn and learn from a preacher, a teacher, is to have your Bible open, maybe some notes, pen out, and you write some stuff. So, look at the first sentence there. This is what I'm going to try to teach us. And by the way, if you were here 2 weeks ago when Brian Slife spoke, awesome, Brian. What I am saying today is a very natural continuation of what he said. He talked about what it's like to grow up as an orphan, thinking you have to fend for yourself. No one's going to take care of you. You're on your own. No one's ever going to help me. So I have to fight my way to get anything in life to survive. And this terrible identity that he described, and then went to the Bible to show that that's not us. We're not orphans, but many of us live like orphans, but we are sons or daughters of God himself. He's adopted us into his family, and he will provide for our every need. We don't need to live like orphans. Got it? So, I wrote this. We, individually and together, are commissioned by God. Individually, by myself, I have a calling on my life, and together we have a corporate calling, and it works better. The synergy happens, you know, when the sum of the parts is greater than the individual contributions added together. That's synergy, right? That together, we as a church and together the whole body of Christ are called to be God's agents of blessing, commissioned. And that is our heritage. That's our inheritance. We are heirs of this heritage. And I should have said we are commissioned and, you could write this in, empowered. It's one thing to be commissioned, to be given a call. Can you imagine if you were commissioned by the United States government to go as an ambassador to another country and represent the country, but the United States said, oh, and by the way, you're on your own. We have no resources for you. We're not going to back you up. You just go and represent us in that other country. It's not how it works. When you're commissioned to represent the United States government, you also have the backing, the empowerment, the resources of the United States government in your work in a foreign country. And we are commissioned and empowered. It's really important to understand that. Not on my own. Empowered to be God's agents of blessing, Isaac, this world. Do any of you know about our heritage as people of faith that started with a guy named Abraham? I'm not going to assume that everyone knows who Abraham is. Because if you're maybe you're new to faith, you're new to Christianity, or you're not even quite through the door yet because you're just investigating to see if it makes sense and you want to dive into Christianity, you might not know that we, who are Christians, and those who are Jewish take our roots back to a single man named Abraham. He lived about 3,000 or 3,500 years ago, depending on how you measure the history. Imagine that long ago. And he was just a guy, just kind of a nomadic guy in the Middle East. And one day, God called him and said, "Abraham, I'm going to choose you to be my agent of blessing." You can read about it in Genesis, the first book of the Bible. And this is what it says there. Abraham, it's God speaking to Abraham, verse 2 of chapter 12 of Genesis. "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you." Let me just stop there and say, Abraham, when he gets this message from God, which he gets several times in his life, is getting older and older and older. He has no kids, and his wife's pretty old. And eventually, they're way beyond childbearing age, like hilariously behind, like great-grandma and grandpa behind childbearing age. And God says, no, I'm going to do a miracle. I'm going to bless you. You're going to have a son with your wife. You're going to be a blessing, and your heirs are going to be a blessing so much that the entire world will be blessed through them. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, and your name will be great. And you will be a blessing, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That's an amazing thing to say to a single guy. What would you think if God said that to you? You're like, yeah, you got the wrong guy, right? So everyone who is Jewish is an heir of Abraham. Abraham had a son named Isaac. That was the promised son that came from a miracle. His son was Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob at one point had his name changed by God into another name, Israel. Does that sound familiar? So God told Abraham, you're going to be a blessing to the world. Have anyone ever heard of Albert Einstein? Jewish. Steven Spielberg? Jewish. What's their names? Samuel Goldman Lewis Mayer. First movie, MGM Studios? Jewish. Milton Friedman? Levi Strauss. In a very natural way, the heirs, naturally, of Abraham have impacted. Did you know they've impacted the world? You look anywhere and you will see the impact of the Jewish nation fulfilling this promise in a very natural way. And of course, anyone heard of Jesus? How about Jesus? You know, offspring of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the ultimate blessing. This is just aside. This is probably not preaching, but it's interesting. Article that columnist David Brooks, you might recognize that name, wrote. He said, the Jews are a famously accomplished group. They make up about 0.2% of the world population, but 54% of the world chess champions, 27% of Nobel physics laureates, 31% of the medicine laureates. Can you believe that? What's the numbers? Just hundreds of the Nobel Prize winners, hundreds and hundreds of them, have all been Jewish. It's remarkable. Remarkable how God has used this people to change the world. Did you know, you might, if you haven't been around much, you might believe the press that Christians are the cause of all sorts of trouble in the world. You heard that? People that have used the name of Christ inappropriately and illegally, I would say, have caused a lot of trouble in the world. But the Church of Christ is the single largest provider of healthcare in the world, single largest provider of education in the world. Church fathers successfully campaigned against infanticide in society. They stood up for the rights of women. The first orphanages were churches. The world's largest orphanage system is from a Christian church. Churches pioneered the first homes for the elderly, the first homes for the disabled in society. Christians, based on their understanding of God's word and the rights of all people, led the abolishment of slavery. They were the pioneers of modern social work, the fathers of modern foster care. Free health care for the terminally ill came from Christians. They are the pioneers of modern nursing. Almost all of our schools were started as endeavors of Christianity. 106 of the first 108 colleges in the United States were started for the Christian faith. Did you know that? Do you know Harvard was a Christian university? Princeton? Here's the declaration of the first president of Princeton, Jonathan Dickinson. He wrote, "Cursed be all that learning that is contrary to the cross of Christ." That's the guy that started, the first president of Princeton. Harvard College, when it started, was before it was Harvard University, 1636. Here's a quote from their rule book, for the student rule book. "Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of this life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life." Harvard. Did you know that? It's good to know. What am I talking about? God says to Abraham, "Young man, not so young anymore, I've chosen you. I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing, and your heirs are going to be a blessing to all the nations of the world." Now, I started out saying we might be like Rapunzel, not knowing our heritage. And you might not know that if you have faith in Christ, you are an heir of Abraham and his blessing. Okay, what's Abraham's blessing? You will bless the world. You will be a blessing. Abraham's blessing is, you will be a blessing. I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. Hear that again. I'm going to bless you so you can be a blessing. Now the book of Galatians in the New Testament. And you might open that up and look at chapter 3. You might end up highlighting some stuff like I've done when I've read it this week. Understand then, verse 7 of Galatians 3, that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. Announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. My New International Version then puts a colon there saying, this is going to be part of the announcement of the gospel to Abraham. This kind of landed on my brain and my understanding in a new way. The gospel? Wait a minute. I thought the gospel, the good news, was that because of Jesus, I don't have to go to hell and I can go to heaven. Maybe you've heard that version of the gospel. That is true, that faith in Jesus is the way to salvation. He's done the work. It's a free gift to us. He died on the cross for my sins and for my cleansing. He rose from the dead for my justification. I put faith in him. My sins are forgiven. I'm saved. But that's a shortened version of the gospel. A fuller version of the gospel is that Jesus came, and by the way, if you read the gospels, remember the word gospel, the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what you see is Jesus coming saying, the time is now, the kingdom, the rule and reign of God has come. Repent and believe this good news. In other words, God has come to save the day, not Mighty Mouse. God has come to save the day, and I am God, and I've come to save the day. I've come to help you. This is the good news. The good news that I can proclaim to you, I can proclaim to my friend that I meet in the street that's in trouble. God has come to help you. He's come to help you. He's nearby. Believe him, reach out to him, and everything will change. The good news, according to this, now back to what we're reading, the gospel in advance to Abraham, all nations will be blessed to you. Look at this next verse. So those who have faith, do anyone here have faith? You've maybe put some trust in Jesus. Those you who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. What's the blessing of Abraham? You will be a blessing. Back to the first thing I said. You and I, individually and together, are commissioned by God and empowered by God to be His agents of blessing. You know, early on, let me just say this. By the end of this morning, I hope that you have two things. I hope you have a revelation of your identity, who God has created you to be, that you don't believe the lies anymore, that you are worthless. Jesus purchased you with His own blood. You're not worthless. You're worth a lot. That you will not believe the lies about you, but you'll believe the truth. You have a revelation that you are being drawn to trust and follow Jesus, and when you do, you become a daughter or a son of the Most High God, and that you have a purpose, and that purpose is to be a blessing to others, that you have something to say, that you have something to do. God has created you for good works. God has chosen you. If you've come to Christ, God has chosen you, invited you to follow Him so that He can empower you to be His powerful agent of blessing to this world now in our time. Does anyone need blessing in this world, you think? Are there some hurting people in your life? You've been called to be a blessing to them. My hope is that you and I will leave this place with a revelation of our identity, and that we will also step out in faith to begin to be more of a blessing and have a concept, a mindset, an understanding. I'm created to be a blessing. I'm empowered to be a blessing. The Spirit of God's in me to be a blessing through me. I'm going to start blessing and handing out blessing everywhere I go. Well, someone got it. You who have faith are blessed along with Abraham. The gospel, the good news of what God has done to redeem, heal, and renew the whole world includes this proclamation: all nations will be blessed through you. And now listen, I understand this. If you're worried about me getting close to not understanding the Bible, the truth of God's Word, I understand that the primary blessing is Jesus Christ, the offspring of Abraham. The primary blessing is knowing Jesus. Whom to know is life. But it's more than that, because there's practical blessing. There's restoration of broken marriages. There's healing of shame on abused children. There's feeding the hungry as blessing to the poor. There's all sorts of good works to be done in addition to the most important, salvation of the entire person through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:14. I'd love to read the whole chapter, but this is a few verses later. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles. I should stop. You might not even know. What are Gentiles? Gentiles would make a lot of sense to this, the readers of this letter, because this was a time... A Gentile is someone who's not Jewish. And this book, this letter, Galatians, was written to a group of people who were following Jesus, many of them not Jewish, and people were telling them, you know what, if you really want to follow Jesus first, you have to convert to Judaism. You have to go through all the rites, you have to follow the law of Moses, then you can be a follower of Jesus. But unless you do that, you got to do the works of the law of Moses, the whole Old Testament, especially the first five books, all those rules and regulations, the Sabbath, the food, the circumcision, all the things that they had to do, you have to do those if you want to follow Jesus. And Paul's writing them saying, no, no, no. All of us have come to God through Jesus and faith in His work on the cross, whether we're Jew or Gentile. That's what the book of Galatians is all about. Right, so that's why this was important. But now, back up. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham is you will be a blessing. You who thought you were nobody will be a blessing. So that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles, those who weren't naturally Jewish, might come to the Gentiles through faith in Christ, so that by faith we might receive one more thing, the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the presence of God in me, to empower me to be His agent of blessing, to empower me to live right, to empower me to begin to look like Jesus more and more in my life. You get it? That we, through faith, might receive the Spirit. So let me just summarize this, and this is probably on the screen in the handout I gave you. When I became a follower of Jesus, when I become a follower of Jesus. These things happen to me. I'm redeemed from my old, self-focused, and broken life. I'm redeemed. I'm bought out of that slavery of thinking everything's about me, and it just gets worse and worse, because the more I think about me and try to solve my problems, the worse my problems get, and the harder my heart gets, and the stupider I get, and the more dumb, is that true? The more dumb things I do, right, because I'm thinking about me. And the way to get myself better is not to think about me, but to think about you. The way to find happiness for me is to worry about your happiness, and my happiness comes. Did you know that? And then my life gets broken. He redeemed me from my old self-focused and broken life. I become an heir of this guy named Abraham. Literally, like if you have a rich grandfather and you discover you're his heir, guess what? His fortune comes to you. I'm an heir of Abraham. His fortune comes to me. What's his fortune? That I am chosen to be a blessing. Get it? Simple message. I receive the promised Holy Spirit who empowers me to receive my inheritance, to walk it out. And this is my inheritance. You know, how might that work for you? Let me just tell you this. When I was a long time ago, I was 17 years old. Was anyone ever 17? When I was 17, I moved to California from Arizona. A lot of you know my story. And I got my first job in a place. I had cleaned houses with my mom because she had a house cleaning business. But I got my first job at the Carlsbad Mall. What's it called now? I don't even know. What's it called? Westfield Mall. It has another name too. The shops at Carlsbad. Does anyone shop in malls anymore? Hello, Ron, Amazon.com. But some people still go shopping. I got a job there as a sales guy I'm gonna date myself. Does anyone remember Miller's Outpost? Oh wow, you remember Miller's Outpost. Fine purveyors of Levi Strauss, right? Okay, I'm 17 and I know this because at that time in church history, we used to sing songs about the Bible. We used to sing this song, I'm of the seed of Abraham and his blessing rests on me. Do you remember, anyone old enough to remember singing that? No one but me. Oh, I saw one. So I would go to work and I would pray. And what would I pray? Lord, I'm an heir of Abraham. I pray that my company will prosper because I'm going to work for them and I'm your son. I pray that they will be blessed and benefit by my being there because I'm your son. Is that a legitimate prayer, do you think? Now, I don't know if you think that way, but I want you to start thinking that way. If you belong to Christ, it is appropriate, it's worth expecting that where you go, blessing comes. And if we had time, we could read through the end of Deuteronomy where it says you'll be blessed in the city, you'll be blessed in the country, your crops will do well. All these things will happen if you are a person of the covenant of God. You'll be blessed. And I really believe that it's appropriate that everywhere I go, there should be, they now say it this way, a change in the atmosphere. There should be the presence of God coming to benefit people in their body and their soul and their spirit. And if you don't think that way, I'm challenging you, think like a Christian, think like an heir of Abraham. So that's one way that might work out, but I better get back to my notes or we'll run out of time. End of Galatians, a couple more verses. You are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, some of you got baptized last week, you have clothed yourselves with Christ. Now there's neither Jew nor Greek or Gentile, slave nor free, not male, not female. Big dividing issues in first century Rome. For you are all one in Christ. If you belong to Christ, listen to this truth. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed or offspring and heirs according to the promise. End of story. That's me. I belong to Christ. Everything I read about Abraham and the promises to his heirs is supposed to happen through me. Changes my mindset, changes the way I approach life. Some of you that've been around a while will remember. Anyone remember our friend Sarah Jeffers? Sarah and Brad? She might be listening to the podcast. Hi, Sarah, if you're listening. So I was reading your post on Facebook this week, Sarah. Did you see that? Go listen to this. Sarah, many of us know personally. She's just one of us. Moved to Indiana. She wrote a few days ago, Jesus showed up at the grocery store bakery yesterday. She says, so I've been getting to know the Holy Spirit more lately and trying to step out in faith and heal people and stuff like that in Jesus' name whenever I have the chance or he prompts me, like Jesus taught us. Most of the time I don't get to see healing, but I've learned from my friends who practice healing that the more you pray for people, you'll start to see healings. Healings would be one way to bless. Yesterday evening, I stopped at the grocery store with my 2-year-old Jonah in tow to pick up a few things. As I stepped out of my car, I had the impression. How does God speak to you often? Through an impression. I had this impression. Someone is going to get healed today. So I said, okay, Holy Spirit, you show me who will get healed. I'll pray for him. That's the way it works, by the way. So much easier to pray for healing and see a result if God says, I'm going to heal that person. And you don't have to work anything up. You just show up into the game. It's already gone. It's already a done deal. You just do it. Is this an interesting story yet? You want to know where it goes? You three people, I'm going to read it for you. I went about my shopping, not worrying about it, and no one really stuck out to me. Just as I was about done, I had to head back to produce for one more thing, and I decided to stop at the bakery for a treat. I love how God leads. Sugar. As I was picking out some chocolate chip cookies, hallelujah for chocolate chip cookies, I heard a woman mention to the woman at the bakery she had a pinched nerve that was bothering her, and her kids might have strep throat. Now check it out. I'm an heir of Abraham. I'm called to be a blessing. I just heard that this person has a pinched nerve and strep throat. I wonder if I'm supposed to be God's agent of blessing to her. See how that works? That's what we think like when we're riding around in the chariot that Daria saw, right? She was having a bad day, so I thought, okay, here we go. I was a little nervous, but I wanted to see what the Holy Spirit was going to do, so I went for it. I'm asking you and me to be people who go for it. Are you ready to go for it? Okay. So I went for it and asked her the famous prayer. The famous question. What's the question? I'm always trying to teach you and me. Could I pray for you? Here's Jesus says, the kingdom of God has come. Repent and believe the good news. Here's how I say it. I think God might want to help you. Could I pray for you? You might want to practice that. Write it down if you have to. Those are like magical words. I think God might want to help you. Could I pray for you? Scary to say those words. Have you ever said that? It's scary to walk up this. I've done this. And I'm like, every time, I'm like, I'm going to feel stupid. They're going to judge me. They've never shot me. They almost always say, okay, the worst people to pray for are religious Christians. Because they'll say, oh no, it's okay, I'm a Christian. And what does that mean? Like, God doesn't want to help you? I mean, that's what they're saying, right? Like, I think God can help you even if you are a Christian. So anyway. She said yes. After the first time I prayed and I commanded healing in Jesus' name, what she meant was she said, be healed in Jesus' name. Remember, pinched nerve. I asked if she noticed any difference. She said, well, she felt some heat. I've had that happen so many times. Have you had that happen? You pray for someone, and I don't know why, but they feel like some heat's going on. And then she said, it's about 20% better. The presence of God was definitely there. I asked to pray again and invited complete healing. She said, wow, this is crazy, and kept turning her head from side to side. Now, this is when it gets fun, right? She was 100% better, guys. Now, watch this. This is how this works. And this is right out of the Bible. This is how this always happens. The baker saw what happened. She thought I'd done some pressure point thing or something. The pinched nerve in her neck was gone. Jesus touched her right in the grocery baker. Other people, grocery bakery, other people watching. Then the baker wanted to get healed and asked me to pray for her hearing loss. So she prayed. First time she felt the Holy Spirit. But no difference. Second time, she felt heat in her ear. She was ready. I don't know if anything happened with the hearing. But anyway, Sarah was obedient and prayed. She was ready to go home. But in the process, I got to share with her about how Jesus has so much more for us than just church on Sunday. Then she asked for prayer for her co-worker, who she thinks is a Satan worshiper, or just a really dark person. She was a Christian, so I taught her how she could pray and her authority. Suddenly we're having church in the bakery. Huh? And she sums this up with just humility and reality. I've prayed for a few dozen people. I've maybe seen two or three people. Guess how many I see healed when I don't pray? Zero. If you would like to see God bless supernaturally through you, and you never offer to pray for anyone, chances are really low that you're going to get that thing. So I want you to know who you are, who your identity is in Jesus, and I want you to step out in faith, risking it. Okay, let's go on with these notes here. This will end pretty quick now, I think. How to multiply blessing. How to multiply blessing. When you saw that title, you might have thought I was going to tell you how to get rich and get richer. But now actually I'm talking about how to help other people get rich and richer in many ways. First, understand, believe, and act on who the Bible says I am. I'm a full heir of his promise to Abraham to be a blessing. Second, and this is the new part for this part of this teaching, learn the principle of multiplication. I'm going to teach you something that you may or may not know, but I want to get it in our minds, a four-generation view of myself and others in the body of Christ. I'm basing this thinking on what Paul wrote to Timothy. Are you ready? Here we go. And the things, this is 2 Timothy 2, second chapter, second verse. Paul, this leader in the body of Christ, church planner, is writing to a young man, kind of timid guy named Timothy. He had taken Timothy with him on many of his travels. He'd started a church in a place called Ephesus. He left Timothy there and said, Timothy, this church is kind of messed up. I need you to stay and correct some problems. The letter that you read, 1 and 2 Timothy in the Bible, is about that. It's the church at Ephesus. So when you read the book of Ephesians, that's that church. So Paul says to Timothy, this one sentence that's worth learning from. The things that you have heard me say, so Paul's writing, Timothy, the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, I want you to entrust those to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Believe it or not, that sentence is packed with how to take blessing and multiply it. Multiply it. This is how things grow exponentially. The church around the world is growing exponentially by this process. It's simple and it's powerful. Timothy was to understand that he received blessing from Paul, like many others did. He was then to offer blessing, in this case, instruction, teaching, wisdom, prayer to a few people, reliable men. But he was to pick them in a way that they would also spread that to other people. Four generations. Paul to Timothy, Timothy to reliable men to others who would continue to teach. When I do that, and I'm four generations deep, what started with one person exponentially multiplies. And if you don't think this way, I'm calling you, if you're a disciple of Jesus, to begin thinking this way and asking the question, who am I receiving blessing from? Who am I transmitting that to? And furthermore, who's being blessed by them? Am I meeting with someone and saying, you know that stuff we talked about? Who are you spreading that to? That's key. Disciples to make disciples. If I'm praying for someone, I'm asking them, you know that thing where you experienced God's presence when I laid my hands on you and blessed you? Now, who are you doing that with? But thirdly, and the most importantly, as you're blessing them, are you doing what I'm doing with you right now and telling them that they too can bless others and spread it on? You remember there was a movie some years back, Pay It Forward? Yes. Wasn't that this? It was just this, right? If you haven't seen it, great story about a kid who gets the concept, I'm just going to take what I get and pay it forward and tell them they ought to pay it forward. And then they did, and they paid it forward, and the next time they paid it forward, soon an entire town was changed by this one kid's efforts to do a good turn. It was really simple, really powerful. It's actually biblical disciple making. Who am I receiving? Are you receiving from anyone? Who am I receiving from? If you're not, find somebody to connect with who has something to say to you, something wisdom to impart to you, some way of mentoring you. Connect with somebody. And then turn around and get what they're giving to you to someone else and make sure the person that you're giving to someone else is given to... Are you Christians? Some of you? Disciples of Jesus, some of you? Disciples are people... What did Jesus say? Go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them everything I taught you. That's this. If you're a follower of Jesus, you call yourself a disciple, be learning and teaching. Be receiving and giving. Be receiving and giving, and make sure the person that you're giving to knows to be also receiving from you and giving to others to make sure that they teach them to receive from them and pay it forward. Because if you're a follower of Jesus, who's your dad? God. Who's your father via faith? Abraham. You're actually an heir of Abraham. What's the blessing given to Abraham? You will be a blessing. All the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. If you follow Christ, the Bible says you by faith are an heir of Abraham. He's your great, 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 great grandfather. And all of his blessings belong to you as his rightful heir. His blessing, you will be my agent of blessing. And not only that, you'll receive the Holy Spirit to empower you to be my blessing to all the world. Do you see this next graph that's on your handout? Do you see that? You can't see my little picture here. The circles with colors, you might take that and use that magnet on your refrigerator and put that on your refrigerator. This is something that Alan Scott taught us when he was here, and I pull it out every once in a while. Invest, the lifestyle of always helping someone become a follower and lover of Jesus and his people. Why? Well, a lover of Jesus, because if you have an encounter with the love of Jesus, you'll naturally overflow in a responsive love. If you meet Jesus, you can't help but love him and worship him. If you actually know who he is, you can't help yourself. He's that good. He's that good, right? But a follower of Jesus, because being a lover of Jesus is not quite enough. He needs to be Lord of your life so you can have salvation. And his people, because loving and following Jesus is always done in the context of his family. I'm just reading to you what's in that graphic. So here's a way to implement this. This is a way to implement and multiply blessing. Most people who become followers of Jesus, after a while, only have friends who are followers of Jesus. Have you noticed that, old Christians? And it's a good thing. You hang out with other Christians. You love each other. We fellowship together. We worship together. But all of a sudden you realize, I don't even know a person who doesn't know Jesus. And that's the death knell for growth. That's a problem. If I really love Jesus and his call to make disciples who make disciples, his call to be a blessing, I need to make sure that somewhere in my life I have a place to interact with people who probably don't know him. Right? That's what that first thing is. Listen, Christians that are old and you don't have any friends that don't know Jesus, choose to get somewhere where you're going to interact with people who probably don't know him. Interact with him. And as you interact with them, involve your life with them. That's the next larger circle. If I truly value people becoming lovers and followers of Jesus, I'm going to involve my life with people who don't know him yet. And now as I am really genuinely loving people who don't know him, I begin to invest my life through prayer, even fasting. Prayer, that's when you don't eat. You take something that you can normally do, but you just choose not to do it because you want to really intentionally, effectively, passionately pursue God's desire for this thing. You deny an appetite to say, Lord, as much as I'm denying this appetite, that's how hungry I am for this thing I'm asking of you. And then eventually, invite that person that you are now fallen in love with because you're loving them, you're knowing them, but they don't know Jesus yet, and you invite them to something. You invite them into a conversation. You invite them to a movie. You invite them to church. You invite them to some event where they're likely to run into Jesus. You invite them to the small group that you go to. And the next thing you know, you are blessing someone and teaching them to bless others. It's so simple, but many Christians don't do this. This is the invest way of lifestyle. I'm done. Let's stand up. Ran out of time. Did you learn anything? Okay, so watch this. Let's open ourselves up to the Lord right now. Holy Spirit, we sang it and we pray it. Come. Oh, we invite you, Holy Spirit. You who are real, you who are the God who is present, we invite you, Holy Spirit, come. And some of you right now, I'm pretty sure, are experiencing a sense of His presence. You're feeling a weightiness in your chest. You're seriously calling on God and He's responding. His presence is on you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Listen, if you're here and you have yet to receive Jesus as your own Lord, as your own Savior, as your own King, right now reach out to Him and say, Jesus, I want to follow You. I want You to be my Lord. I choose to follow You. Help me to follow You. I'm so sorry for my many sins, and You know as well as I do, Lord, what they are. Forgive me. Thank You for going to the cross for me. Thank You for rising from the dead for me. I receive Your free gift of salvation, Your free gift of the Holy Spirit within me. Now, make me Your daughter. Make me Your son. Reveal to me that I'm Your child and that I'm also a child of Abraham with the full rights of His blessing. Reveal to me that I'm called to be Your God's agent of blessing to my world. And I tell You, Lord, I'm going to try to risk it. I'm going to try to go for it. I'm going to try to step out. Connect me with people who don't know You yet. Give me courage to offer to pray for them. Give me courage to tell them about You. And Lord, I pray to You, I am asking You, for these people that are hands raised right now, that the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon them to empower them to boldly proclaim the name of Jesus, to boldly heal the sick, to boldly drive out dark powers, to boldly do the works of God.